Welcome to LBB's Open House, our podcast on how to build brands better. I'm Suchita, the co-founder of LBB. On Open House, I have candid conversations with founders, CXOs, and investors behind India's most compelling brands. Today, I'm in conversation with the OG influencer, entrepreneur, and creator, Tanmay Bhatt. This episode is incredibly funny and also incredibly insightful, especially if you're super interested in the creator economy, new platforms, tools, and mediums. We also talk about one of 2020's best ad campaigns, which is Cred's Not Everyone Gets It campaign that featured Bappi Lahiri, Dilair Mehndi, and more fantastic faces and was led by Tanmay's efforts. Without wasting another minute, here's Tanmay Bhatt on LBB's Open House. If you've got questions, suggestions, ideas, and feedback to share, email us at openhouse@lbb.in. You can also find us on Twitter at @FromLBB and I am on at Suchita Salwan. Enjoy. Tanmay, first off, I am a huge fan of the conversation that you had with Barun. I think specifically for someone like me who's, you know, consumed your content back when you were AIB and I binge watched a lot of your YouTube videos preparing for this interview, by the way.
My YouTube is not a reflection of, is not an accurate reflection of who I am. My YouTube channel is where I am a child. I have a child on my YouTube. There's a second channel. I think that's the one you're talking about. That's the one where I'm discussing smarter stuff, the neuroscience and the podcast and that sort of stuff. So there are two channels. The first one is, it's just embarrassing. I'm being an idiot on stream mostly.
I actually prefer your embarrassing channel, but on this episode, we need you to be more adulty and share the insights that, you know, you've sort of like garnered over the past couple of years. So I'm going to start with the first question, right? Back when you kicked off your, career and back when, you know, AIB sort of started, YouTube was the tentpole of what creator economy looked like on the internet, right? But now obviously a lot of it has changed with
wildly changed.
Dude, it's insane. Substack, Discord, I mean, you name it, there now for every type of medium, whether it's short form video, long form video, audio, visual, whatever, there's some shit or the other, right?
Yeah.
When you think of, you know, where content creation was 5 years ago to where it is now, how much has it actually changed and how much of it still seems to be the same?
When you said Substack doesn't work in India yet, their payments still a problem. Then none of these international guys take us seriously because just ARPU is just severely low that we never managed to make a dent in anything. Except the gaming guys. The gaming guys love us because we are a bulk of their DAU. So it's changed dramatically, right? The shift from, I think I said yesterday, we've seen a shift from, let's think of Facebook, right? 10 years ago, it was, hey, hi, what are you doing? Just give a life update or two here or there. Oh, I got married. I had a child. So then we came to Snapchat. To me, Snapchat was the big, I'm here and now. Let me tell you the highlights of my life extremely quickly on a 24-hour basis. If you miss my 24 hours, you missed a bit of my life, right? And then came Instagram. Instagram, remember, it used to be an aesthetic photo thing. Right? It used to be that. And now it's just, let me tell you every second of my day. We are going to an always on mode. I think eventually the line between consumer and creator is going to start getting blurred because today everybody is a creator. And I think if you have to do anything in marketing, you better have spent your time. It's like doing an internship. Building your own following is like doing a very, very solid internship. Like you learn everything about how platforms work, how users work. So that's the one massive shift from that day, right? From that time. YouTube was one of the first movers in that sense. So now the way to gain glory or status is ubiquitous. Why is TikTok so massive? Why? India mein sabko hero banna hai, sabko heroine banna hai, right? And the easiest way, TikTok to me is like a package 15-second audition, right? In 15 seconds, you gotta look good, you gotta lip sync, you gotta dance. TikTok gave status, TikTok made rock stars out of people who were aesthetic and can dance and can sing or had, you know, some sort of performance talent. Instagram made rock stars out of just pretty people. You know, so Twitter made rock stars out of people who could write, who had insights, who could be funny in 140 characters. Comedians popped on Twitter. So I think the modes of the road to glory and status became many, and it became almost democratized. Everybody had an opportunity to do something or the other. So this, I think, is the one wild change. Like, I remember in 5 years ago, like, being someone who makes videos for a living seemed a little off, right? In fact, YouTube used to have a CIP program. They used to pay creators and incentivize them to saying, start doing this. YouTube had to convince us, saying that, hey, you guys do live comedy. You got to now also translate to video. And we were like, I don't know if this is our thing. Now it's like every kid wants to. In fact, YouTuber is the number one craved occupation in the world. Everybody is doing that. And now there's conversation about, you know, founding influencers with different startups, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, so I think it's that's been the transition. The opportunity to become a rock star are aplenty, and and the people who make the tools for you will also make money with you, I guess. Yeah.
And what about the internet has stayed the same, right? So what are those like first principles that have just not changed, no matter what medium you're on or what format you're tooling around with?
Core motivations of people don't change, right? All aspects of your online personality, the core motivation is to build your own online brand. Like, people are lying if they say every tweet that they make, even if it's virtue signaling, is not to build your own brand, is not to signal. Like, that's, it's just not, it's always been that. It's just become so much more it's crazy. Every single day you're constantly building your own brand. That has not changed at all. What has changed, and that I think I told you this on the email, was our dopamine threshold, right? Like, you could afford to be AIB 5 years ago, which is come once a month with something crazy and throw one dart at the board. And if it lands, then that's great. Today, you can't afford to do that anymore. At least legacy players who have built an audience already doing that, they can still do that. But new folks just can't, because attention, the dopamine threshold is far too high. Like, there's a reason why TikTok is successful. When you have 15-second dopamine hits, like, you need to realize that this is the pace that we have to operate on. So that's the one thing that has dramatically changed in the last 5 years, I think.
So, you know, you even in even on Advertising Is Dead, you spoke in really interesting ways about, you know, how content essentially is an engine for dopamine, right? But to play devil's advocate, though, I think one of the downsides of this constant chase for dopamine, both from consumers, creators, as well as brands, is this almost like homogeneity that has been created on the internet, right? Where everyone seems to be playing with the same formula to get the same kind of reaction from consumers, brands, and creators. For consumers specifically, how do you, and as a creator, when you're creating content for consumers, how do you navigate this, almost this second nature of wanting to, you know, land on stuff that's the easiest, like the lowest common denominator of response, elicitation, while also figuring out a way to differentiate yourself? Because if you think about it, over the course of history, the things that cause dopamine have more or less stayed the same, right? In fact, I don't know if you've been seeing the criticism around Clubhouse, but now that Clubhouse has opened up, essentially, like, most of the rooms are, you know, people are like semi-porno rooms. So it's almost like all platforms end up going to the same, you know, like, dopamine creators. How do you navigate that? How do you not become homogenous?
It's interesting that you said that. I think that there are some aspects, there are some things that always release dopamine, but human beings have prefrontal cortex, right? Like, which is, every single person is different. They have a personality. There's prefrontal PFC is your essential context, right? Every single person, where they come from, what they've experienced, their identity. So the thing about this is that over a period of time, because your threshold is going up, if you are not able to keep up with that, you will die. Let me give you an example. Comedians doing Rahul Gandhi sucks don't get laughs anymore. This was a thing 8 years ago. I remember, because I was one of the first to start it, right? Before 2014 elections, Pappu, etc., etc., etc. But it used to be enjoyable at one time, and then your brain automatically learns over a period. It's called taste, right? Your taste evolves. This is essentially, taste evolving is nothing but your brain saying, isme maja nahi aa raha hai abhi. Ab kuch naya do. Isko steroids pe dal ke lao, isko kuch alag karo, isko ulta karo, isko upside down karo, nahi to maja nahi aa raha isme. So that happens, and creators, like the best ones, automatically are ahead of the curve. They find a new formula. Let me give you a great example of this YouTuber. There's a YouTuber called Dream. All right. He has grown from 100 subscribers to 15 million in the last 1 year doing Minecraft videos. Now, I started gaming a year and a half ago, and I avoided Minecraft like the plague. It's the most saturated market in the world. Every single person from PewDiePie to the smallest kid. Yesterday, I was in my building and I saw this tiny kid. Yeah, he was just probably 7, 8 on the phone playing Minecraft. Everybody plays Minecraft. Dream broke all the rules on YouTube. He made 45-minute videos about Minecraft, but it's the most, it's like watching a movie when you watch him play. It's that good. How did he do this, right? It's because he avoided all the other shit that everybody else was doing, and he found a new route. So you will know what's tired, right? I also sometimes I'm just phoning it in because I need to hit consistency, and you can tell it just never does well. So you got to keep finding newer ways to do stuff, which is why, you know, like we creators are often meta. It's always like you just know on an everyday basis that this is where it's done. So I disagree that I think the same formula. I think there are a lot of people who have not accessed the same formula before. With them, it works. For them, it's still new. For them, even basic, you know, like it's Bollywood in India, right? Like it's still new for them because the dopamine threshold is not that high. But yeah, eventually taste will evolve. Eventually you will have to change. So yeah, so that's to address the first part of the question. What was the second part? I forget.
I think the second part of it, or let me rephrase it in another way, is for consumers, right? What are the, are there metrics that you look at to see, has the content that I'm creating, hit a certain dopamine threshold with consumers? Because I think a lot of what's happening right now is everyone's being driven by the same numbers, right? Everything is either number of views, number of people in my live stream, et cetera, et cetera. And I think somewhere in the way things are measured, the creation also is becoming homogenous. So you as a creator, and not just you as a creator, as someone who's on YouTube and Instagram, but even as someone, you know, who's worked on films, who's worked on ads, what are the ways in which you measure whether you're actually hitting that dopamine threshold for consumers or not?
Ads are still tougher because, again, you have one shot, right? It's great because it's on someone else's money. So that's always fun. Man, I feel for the... I just want to take 1 second to speak about advertising. I have some controversial thoughts. A lot of uncles got very upset with what I did for credit. Not a lot, just a couple, I think. And Devaya messaged me saying, when uncles of an industry get upset at what you're doing, you've probably done something good. And I really laugh. Ads are interesting because your feedback loop is very rare. It's you make one, then you don't get to make another for a while. Like I remember speaking to copywriters who would die to get that one film out every year, right? Like that feedback loop is too small. You have to, like, I think I spoke about this on Advertising is Dead. Your feedback loop has to be shorter. So if you don't have that at your job, find an alternative where you can keep doing your refining your sense of judgment. I think the core skill here is judgment. Today, I think after making 200 odd videos, directing 100 of them, writing 50,000 tweets, making at least 30,000 Insta updates, like my judgment has become a lot more refined, which is the biggest, it's the most leverage that you have. You can do that at scale, then you can make wealth. So with YouTube, it's very simple, right? To me, the retention is the big metric.
Got it.
10-minute videos is what I usually make. I just want to hit 65% retention every time. And you can see it in videos that you've really, really put in effort. when the stakes are high, when you build anticipation, when you bookend things. You know what bookending is? It's memento, right? It's like you show the ending first, like, oh, something happens, and then you go back to the very beginning. You use all these tricks to make sure the audience stays till the end. So retention is a very big metric. I think even for startups, I was drawing a parallel between YouTube and startups to a friend of mine the other day, right? Like on my YouTube, my goal is the number of bell icons should be very high, right? Number of bell icons are your like prosumers. They are fans of what you do. They'll latch on, they'll be the first users on every new feature. And to increase this, you usually do spikes, right? I will do a collab with someone. Right, I will work with someone, or I'll do a special video that I build up to for days. These will be my spikes that bring in new users. A bunch of them will convert into bell icons. Then between two spikes will be waves, right? Which is, okay, new users have come. All right, let me just keep supplying them with content, keep them engaged until my next big spike. So on YouTube, when I'm operating, I'm like, all right, what is the big? Let me have three shots at spikes this month. By the way, spikes don't always work. They're attempts at having something travel. So every month I'm like, okay, once a week I need to have one shot at doing something big. Let's experiment. Let's do this. And then the rest of the time you do hygiene stuff. In fact, YouTube even has a model, Hygiene Hero Hygiene Hub. I think that's what it's called. Which is interesting. I just came onto that couple of days ago. But that's what I was doing naturally. So it makes sense that they literally said that. So, yeah. So I like to, this is how I would measure, I would measure progress, at least on a YouTube channel. And I think there are parallels to be drawn even on an app.
Draw those parallels because again there's actually so much similarity, you know, whether you're a creator or you're a platform or, you know, whatever you are. So
for an app, the spike could be a feature, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be the like when I said I'm drawing a parallel, I mean drawing a parallel between a creator's YouTube channel and a brand's YouTube channel. I meant the general way of acquiring users. So for sometimes for brands, they are features, right? Like Cred is a good example, because RentPay is a big thing. Like RentPay brought me back to Cred. Like I wasn't really using Cred. The coins weren't of much value to me. I was the 1% on autopay of credit card bills, so I didn't need this. But RentPay really got me back again. I said, oh, this is cool. So sometimes features can act as that massive spike that you need. Sometimes collaborations can act as that. That's one way of drawing the panel. Yeah.
Got it. And when you think of, consumers as well, right? So you said you talk about this even otherwise, which is the way you sort of look at your consumption cycle is there'll be X part of your users who are loyal, right? There'll be Y part of your users who are just new. And then there'll be those who come in and out off the funnel, right? What happens when you as a person change, right? What happens when the things that interest you, are very different from perhaps the things that made your users obsessed with you in the first place? How do you make loyalty follow through, as you pivot? And again, I'm not only asking you this question as Tanmay, the creator, but to the point that you made, there's so many corollaries and similarities in between the life cycle of creators and even product owners or brand owners like myself. So could you talk to that? How do you keep your consumers with you?
I think content is a likability game, right? They're slightly different. Content is a likability game, right? Like I was joking with Zakir the other day saying, me now and me 5 years ago is wildly different because I'm a lot more likable now. I think an audience will give you leeway up to a point to be different because they're with you for the journey and who you are and they're interested in that. Having said that, I think if the secret sauce doesn't change, right, you 100% can get an audience to side with you. I went from making sketches to making vlogs. The only main thing that really stayed common was I was obsessed with the edit. Anything that's not interesting just goes out immediately. So the hit rate is the joke density per minute is still high. It's just bang, 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 bang. So I can go from people were telling me, saying, how come you're doing reaction videos now? I said, it's the most efficient way for me to output a video every day. If I sit down with another comic and I watch a video, I will give you 10 minutes of really good content if I shoot for 40 minutes. So the core fundamentals haven't changed. It's just cosmetic changes, if anything else. The principles are still the same, whether I'm doing a promotional video for AK versus AK, or I'm writing a roast, or I'm making a reaction video. The core just does not change. In fact, whether I'm giving to hosting founders forum, or even at a live gig, the principles don't change, which is just give you no time to breathe. It's just constantly hitting your brain with what's the next thing. So I think it's the same thing. If what you do, I mean, Apple is a good example also, right? Apple does everything 4 years later. They just do it so well. You can't help but keep using them. Everyone can sit and bitch about, oh, this was already on Android. Well, then why are you using this then? They eventually come and they own it, right? So it's possible for, especially in a country like India, where trust buckets are rarer, right? It's just, if I trust someone, Max, sab kuch hi kharidega usse. Like Tata can sell me like children and I'll buy them. Like, Tata ke bachche le lo. Like, yeah, it's amazing. These are the best, the most trustable bachchas you'll find. So it's, once you have them, it's easier to get people to do it. You just don't forget what, bhulna mat tum kahan se aaye the. It's that. That's the one thing you can't forget.
You've obviously seen a lot of like successes in terms of, the content that you've created. Let's talk about shit that's just not struck a chord with users. What are the things that you've tried and have just totally bombed when it comes to users?
On Air with AIB, the show that we did, it just did not work. At least I remember the first season did not work. The first season was, we were just a bunch of boys doing YouTube videos. Then suddenly we were suited on television, speaking chaste Hindi in front of a big audience in a studio. It just did not translate. Like we tried to be John Oliver and it just did not work for many, many, many reasons. Season two onwards, the numbers started picking up. We started doing shorter videos, 10-minute bursts instead of 140-minute video. We started attacking topics that were a little more relevant to young people. Like on with AIB, I remember it was 10 p.m. show right after Amitabh Bachchan's show. First episode was about whistleblowing. And do you know what the word for whistleblowing in Hindi is?
No.
Exactly. Nobody knows. So imagine doing 30 minutes about that on Star Plus. No one watched that shit. No one did. So yeah, tried being with thought that going to mainstream meant changing ourselves. Didn't work. That was the last thing I remember just completely not working.
And if you had to apply this dopamine lens to that, right, what about this, dopamine creation didn't necessarily happen over there? Was it just trying?
Too long. Okay. It was for 30, 40 minutes, no clear segmentation. So season two onwards, we started changing that. We started doing 15-minute episodes. Started doing them more frequently. We were doing two in a week. Like we were doing Monday and Friday. Season three became three times a week. But 10-minute episodes, right? So season three, we were just like, we're very simple. We know these three segments. This is what we're good at. This is what we enjoy doing. Let's bang them out. There was a one massive change. Man, I'm really like, television surviving is going to be interesting now, given the amount of attention people have everywhere else. I can't believe that was just a few years ago, man. Getting excited to make a TV show. Fuck, I would not even think about that today. In fact, I think I don't even get that excited about making OTT shows or movies anymore. At least for the next 5 years, I feel like that's something that I'll do as a fun thing, and it won't be the only thing.
What is it about them? Is it just the same thing? Feedback loop? Taking
too long? Yeah, man. It's painful to watch something. It's the most expensive way of expressing yourself. It is the world's most expensive medium to express yourself. Yet everyone wants to do it. I just don't get it. I don't get people who are phenomenal writers, but who are obsessed with the idea of having a release. The writers who have just waited for a year and a half now telling me, yoga even when COVID happened. I said, this talent can be used in so many ways, which most creators don't even recognize, right? Because inherently, creators want status. And until you get that status, you just won't realize that this is not worth it. So now when I tell people saying, hey, do this with me. No, I still want to do this. I'm like, why? I'm trying to talk them out of it. They're like, Tanmay, aapka to ho gaya na. You already had this wave. You to made it and you had this. And I'm like, okay, I get it. But also like, please, you have to see beyond this, man. Like this can happen anytime. Like you imagine you write a movie. Like I feel fairly confident that I will. I have many ideas to write a movie. I feel fairly confident that I'll be able to get through that. I can see myself making it and I can see people liking it. But then I'm going to move on. Then what? I can do this when I'm 50. Till then, you got to try use your skills for other stuff. Actually, I give Kunal a big credit for this. He's the first one to have come and seeded saying, you are wasting your time doing just content. You can do a lot more. This was two or three years ago. Since then, I was like, oh, I should really start thinking. In fact, sitting down with Kunal, who was a complete outsider to the content industry, it helped me articulate how I think to a third person who's asking the right questions. And that's when you realize, oh, this is my process. Oh, got it. I remember he was the one who suggested saying you should get an insight Bible at AIB because you guys spend far too long getting the insights. But insights come every day. Are you recording them? Because every insight is content for you. Whereas I, as an entrepreneur, every insight not necessarily useful for me. I said, that's genius. And he made an insight Bible for 3 months. Every time, you know, every day people would order lunch and all they would do while they were eating lunch was fill food insights in the insight Bible. So when a Zomato brief would come, you would have ideas, 10 ideas in 2 hours because all the insights were already there. All we had to do is turn this into a sketch. That's it. So yeah, so I think creators are, there's going to be far too many creators, which means there are going to be far too many people who can do a great job at marketing but are not. And I think creators should turn entrepreneurs very quickly. I was telling Zakir yesterday saying, Mr. Beat Burgers, Zakir Khan Biryani. It has to be out now. Just try it. Biryani, pizza, top 2 things people order on food apps. Why is it not here yet? He's like, on it. I think more, yeah, it'll happen. The more tools creators are given, the more it'll happen.
So I want to deep dive into one thing, which is evolution of mediums, right? This particular recording is going to go up on YouTube as well as on podcasts. You're seeing a lot of new age platforms, whether it's Masterclass, Frontlow, Graphy, yeah. Pratilipi and the likes coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about mediums, man. What are the newer formats, newer, you know, tools, experiences, etc. that are really exciting you?
So the one platform is one of the questions... the one platform I'm really excited about is Discord, right? I'm a big fan of Discord. I think severely underused. A great metric to when something is working is seeing how young people react to it. Discord is young person central, right? Like I just created a Discord 2 days ago for Clueless. And I can see a community of young folks who are, you know, investing, the trading, young folks likely to trade more because it takes them a while to understand that this is fun, but wealth in the long term is more fun. Them talking to each other, sharing tips, because right now it's happening in YouTube comment section, right? Like I see when I put up a video about personal finance, you'll see one person saying, bro, ye mat kar, tu ye kar. Bro, tu ye mat kar, ye kar. Because everybody has that, needs that one friend in the group who just gets it, right? Gets stuff about money. And Discord just makes it so much better. On Discord, you can create chat channels. Mm-hmm. These chat channels can have permissions. Some people can access some channels, some people can't. So there's a mod chat only. Then there's a sponsor chat only, which is people who are sponsors on my YouTube channel. Just they talk to each other. Then there's just meme, there's just pictures, fan arts, memes. OGs general, I think, is people who were earlier on that server. Now too many people have come. there's discussions, there's chess, there's all kinds of channels, which is, these are segmented. Then there are voice channels, right? So there's one voice channel called Karaoke, right? So people come here and do karaoke like twice a week. So these are people who discovered this Discord server through my YouTube channel. So that the one amazing thing common for all of them is, oh, it's, we all know Tanmay and we like Tanmay. And they join this Discord server. Now, every night, I'm not kidding, people watch movies here. 100 people on one channel, you can share your phone or your laptop. People watch movies.
Hmm.
People have started dating because they met through Discord. So right now, people are on this channel called Groovy Music.
Hmm.
It's just a bunch of people on that channel. Everybody's playing their own songs for other people to hear. It's five friends. They're all probably just sitting on a laptop and working. And a song is going on in the background. So there's all kinds of channels for specific purposes. Away from keyboard, but you still want to be on a voice channel. There's what that also. Okta means 8 people maximum can join, etc. Yeah. So gamers began using this as a way to, I mean, one main reason was Discord voice chat is just really, really good, right? Mm. So I sit in this live stream and somebody else joins me. This is private. Other people can't access it.
And you just keep chatting with each other.
So when I'm streaming. So if I sit in general VC, at some point, someone will notice that Tanmay is on general VC. They'll all start coming into the VC.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine Clubhouse, but it's on a separate platform. You see, people have started joining.
Got it.
Yeah, they quickly saw and they're like, okay, Tanmay is coming. We should try and get in a word.
Got it.
So it's super cool for community engagement. So now there are Discord wars, right? So there are a few mods on my Discord. Now, Samay's Discord has their own mods. And every week they have a open mic on Discord, right? Server war. Oh, who have funnier people on whose Discord? Mm-hmm. They have chess competitions. Now imagine something for finance, personal finance. It's where people are mostly shy about asking questions. They worry about judgment. They usually have that one friend who knows about it. They rely on this person. Now imagine if you have 10 such friends who know about it. And you come on Discord and there's one channel for, you know, small case, one channel for trading, one channel for just memes about finance, and then one channel for just questions only. I'll create a channel called Noob Finance. Ask the dumbest questions here. Then I'll invite some folks that I know who are expert, make them mods, and now it's just a whole new thing to bond with people. I think people, it's grossly underused. It's going to become massive. You're going to find, it's already massive in the US. Wall Street Bets is now a massive Discord channel. So it's going to become a thing. Discord is severely underused. Not enough people recognize it, especially when you're starting small. If you're just starting, you just want a small community of people. Your first power users will come from there. Your first, all the people who will, you know, your evangelists.
It seems like a reiteration of Reddit, like a modern day Quora or
it's live Reddit. It's real-time Reddit. It's bang, 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 bang. People are constantly talking and it's really nice. So it is like Reddit. You're right. It's this weird mix of Reddit, Clubhouse, Twitter. It's got everything in it. And the beautiful thing is you can make plugins for your own thing. You can create bots. Like on the Clueless server, I've created a Nifty bot. Just every hour it tells me what Nifty's at. You can do all kinds of stuff. So on Discord, you integrate your YouTube with Discord. So YouTubers use this a lot. Because if you're a member on my channel, you get special access. This is a special part of my Discord that's for you. And members have their own thing. Like, oh, I'm a member. I only talk to other members. You know, whatever. They have their own inner this joke going on. So I grossly underused will become massive. I'm certain until one big success story comes out.
So this was Snapchat's big bet as well, right? Which is essentially the internet's going to become a subsection of like communities. So, and platforms that enable community creation, which Snapchat caught on to early. Obviously, their manifestation of this was vastly different from what Discord or, you know, Slack for that matter also seemed like. But it seems like they really were ahead of the curve in terms of, you know, where the internet was going, which is more private.
It's what's his name? Evan Spiegel. He really was. He actually said something. His team had come to India, I remember. He actually said something. He said that the world is moving on to all being always on. Except some of the things that they did. Like they created maps before anybody else, right? If you swipe down, you can see where your friends are. It was a way of them saying, always know where your friends are, right? The insight was the world is going to be always on. And he was right about that. But I think the way there's some stuff that he did that people didn't like. But his insight was spot on. You're right. He was the first person to say it. I think now in hindsight, it doesn't seem so radical. But it was pretty radical to say everything disappears in 24 hours. And you just have 15 seconds to say it. which is now the fucking mantra of everything, right? It's like you can do vanish mode on Instagram now. Like, it's crazy. So he got it spot on. We are moving there. By the way, why are people doing Instagram lives? Like, it's so stupid. It's just your face like this and asking questions. There's just a thrill with live. It just feels insane. Imagine watching Mahabharat, right? And you could super chat to Yudhishthir and get him to reply. Am I in the right universe? I think I hope I didn't get it wrong. Mahabharat, Yudhishthir, correct, right? My mythology is poor.
You're asking the wrong person, but I'm sure you're right.
But you get my point, right? Imagine if my mom could super chat to Tulsi and
just be Tulsi like, what up, girl?
Yeah, like, where's your degree? Anyway, so imagine if she could do that. That's crazy. Now imagine that. That's why, imagine how the kids feel today, right? They're watching their favorite YouTuber on stream. All it takes is one quick message and they're able to reply. The motivations are just, it's just crazy. When people ask me, why do you think live stream works? I'm like, are you insane? This is why it works, because you can touch someone. I am watching Justin Bieber's live stream and I am behaving the exact same way that kids behave when they're watching my live stream, right? I'm like, hey, trying anything to get your attention, you know?
Yeah. I want to segue into, you know, there's so much interesting stuff that's happening on the consumer front, but it seems like brands have kind of not jumped on this bandwagon.
Brands are always 4 years late, yeah, on everything. They're too scared.
If you had to, you know, tell brands to supercharge the way they think about things, what would you say?
Are these new brands or old brands?
Both, new and old.
I think if you're a startup, it's a great idea to have a founding influencer, someone who solves your distribution issues very quickly, someone you can consult on with marketing, because creators can save you a ton of money, right? I know this because I make a lot of money by doing dumb stuff for brands that I know is not useful for them, right? So it's, yeah, I do. People will, I'd be like, this, how is this going to help you? It's just going to get drowned out. Instead, if you ask me for an idea, I will tell you what will stand out with my followers, right? So have a founding influencer who can help you with that stuff, because you'll save a lot of money. You'll not waste time. The judgment on whether a campaign will work or no is higher. For older brands, find an in-house team, try and build your own distribution. Otherwise, you will always keep hemorrhaging money. Zomato is phenomenal example. Akshar Pathak is a creator, right? It's really sad that there aren't too many examples of people who've gotten it right. Like, Akshar is a phenomenal creator. He's, every day, as many posts Zomato is making, Akshar is making for himself also, right? And which is great, right? He's only refining his judgment by doing so. And people give the Zomato example a lot, but the reason why you give the Zomato example a lot is because they've been consistently having a creator sort of mentality for 5 years. It's not once. It's every year, 3 times they will do something. They'll do a tweet or a hoarding that you will think about. And that's when you're like, Zomato marketing is good. It takes time. It's not one. So I think in your questions, you had said having a creator mentality. But what is a creator mentality? Creator mentality is this only. Doing the desperation to go viral many times, all the time, constantly. That, I think, does not exist. So I think you need to have an internal team of creators is what I would recommend. It's tough. Everything is because so much the branding management is always about... I used to be the rebel in the earlier days. Like, I would go to advertising forums and be like, brands need to be ballsy and take more risks. And it's hard. Everyone has their asses on the line. People get so worried about losing their jobs if something goes wrong. And theory that, risk taking, only if you take risks does it pay off, et cetera, et cetera. But not everybody has a, you know, founder like Kunal who will okay an idea at 2 a.m. because you told him, hey, I think we should make Bappi Lahiri sing a song for credit. Like, it's just tough for most people to get it. So I don't blame them.
Can we talk about that ad though? So what was the insight over there? You know, it was also really interesting because there was no direct plugging in of cred. There was no chat features or any of that. So let's talk about that ad, man, because again, fantastic work, you know, was all over Twitter and was also done in a, actually for a change, advertisements became interesting thanks to that one single ad. Talk about that and the process behind that.
Kunal called me at 2 a.m. and said, I need something by 11 a.m. tomorrow. You are presenting to my team. Said, okay, challenge accepted. No, but I think, like I said, I had a very tough year in 2019. I went to Bangalore. I spent a lot of time with folks in Bangalore, and Kunal was one of the people who was, you know, just there for me. So I've seen Kunal grow cred. So I feel very personally towards what he and his team are doing. So I'm always available for them, right? So I kind of know the brand, and I kind of know the kind of guts Kunal has. See, this sort of advertising does not happen without really solid founders who are just like, go do your thing. The inside was nothing. I have a very simple philosophy to advertising, which is content first, right? So the way I'm not some genius or anything, but it's just a creator way of doing things, I think, which is slightly different, which is, hey, I'm getting this visual. This is a word that you'll often hear in a room if I'm ideating with you, which is the first instinct is to what is interesting. Let's go for what is interesting. Then see how we can work around it, right? So with cred also, the first thought I had was, hey, Kunal, what if we reject celebrities for an ad? And what if we reject many of them? Would that be crazy? Kunal was like, go on. And I said, imagine we do, someone is performing. And because we're doing it during the IPL, let's make it music. Because if we're going to have play it many, many times, it's got to be catchy. It's got to be something that you don't mind listening to multiple times. So let's think of a 90s, music superstar. So that's how we first came to this thought. And I said, there's someone is performing and we reject it. And the campaign will be successful because of the audacity of doing it first. Second is you're going to be doing it multiple times over 1 month. So it will be sustained over a period of time. People will be like, who is next? Right. That will happen. And Kunal just loved it immediately. So the campaign thought came from these two things, audacity and skill. If we do it multiple times, it will become interesting. And you do a new thing each time. We got Ayappa on board. AIB worked with Ayappa on Gourmet. Ayappa never does celebrity films. But I said, here they're, you know, taking the mickey out of themselves. And he was like, I'm on board for this. And we did it. And it was great. Zero client interference. If anything, they just added to the film. I think it took a bunch of outsiders to be able to not see any of the conventions in this. I have not worked in traditional advertising ever. So I think the creator mindset helped. It was some of the old AIB folks only came back and wrote it. Our first thought was always what's interesting and then how will cred come into this, which is the way to go, I think, for everyone. It's tough. It doesn't happen all the time.
So, you know, like you said, Kunal obviously is a maverick founder, which is why, you know, he's seen the amount of success that he has. Also, you know, cred has a lot of cash money to put on the line, to execute stuff like this. Yeah. But there always is this sort of, you know, push and pull in between going back to that word dopamine, right? What causes dopamine for consumers is very different from what causes dopamine for brands, which in Cred's case would be app downloads or, in LBB's or Amazon's case could be how many orders did I get from this? Yeah. As someone in the middle, how do you sort of synthesize those two sometimes conflicting worlds of what actually drives, that hit of adrenaline?
Yeah. So can you be more specific? I was going to address the first part, which is advertising isn't always about the metric moving, right? Advertising is about a certain feel that you have to feel when you, like I said, you know, when you do it multiple times over and over again, an image is provoked in your head when you think of a brand, right? So it would be silly to peg all metrics to one campaign. That's not how it works. There's a lot of stuff that a campaign does to a brand that is unsaid and it's priceless. With Sorry, now I'm coming back to the question. What is the last part of the question again?
So basically, the reason why I'm asking this is because, you know, a lot of brand marketers, because even we work a lot of brands, everyone's obsessed with performance, right? And it goes back to the, actually, the irony of digital is they had such a, I think digital's ecosystem in general had such a unique opportunity to, you know, step away from the trappings of television, radio, and print, which was, you know, distribution, TRPs, you know, viewership, and all that other nonsense. And the irony is, it's basically just become that.
Yeah. So
the questions coming from is, you know, unfortunately, the metrics, you know, the number of views on Instagram or YouTube that give a brand manager that hit of adrenaline is very different from what it is for consumers.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you synthesize those two slightly opposing worlds?
Oh man. I mean, as a creator, I just if a campaign is not enjoyable for me, I just say I'm never working. I don't want to work with this brand anymore. But if I was working for the brand, no, if I was making something for them, how do you bridge that gap, man?
Because you've done a lot of brand campaigns yourself as well as a creator and for other brands, right?
I'm just thinking, how do I bridge that? So when brands are integrating with me, I think it really helps to speak to, look, it's a chain, right? It's management, right? It's always, hey, I want to do this. No, you can't. Why? And then someone will try and articulate saying, oh, this is why. And eventually, more often than not, I've seen the why is not very well articulated, or you get a very good answer to why you can't do this. The good answer is really good because it gives you guardrails, right? It's almost like getting to know someone a little more. Oh, this is what you don't like. Okay, it just helps me ideate better. But usually people get stuck in this middle part, which is this is just not enough clarity. If you just knew this is what you want, it's much better. I don't have a clear this thing. I just think that the way to hire for marketing should involve getting people who will fail from time to time. And I think it sounds cliche, man, but if you aren't, then you're not experimenting enough, right? Like I've been saying this for a while now, which is marketers need to be creators. It will really help. Not because of anything else, but you will be less afraid of failing, right? Creators, usually the best ones, usually have created multiple feedback loops for themselves. What that does is there's room to constantly do new stuff, which means you're always in the zone. You're always creating. You're open to ideas. That becomes tougher when you aren't doing any of that. When you don't have multiple avenues to create. So that's why I think more and more marketing people should actively be creating, just because it opens your mind up and you're not blocked to more ideas. That's what I would suggest. Yeah.
And you mentioned this, you said something along the lines of how not all metrics have to be, not all things that can be measured need to be tangible, right? But again, as a brand owner, and I'll play devil's advocate for fun, but you know, there's only X amount of resources that you have or time that you have. And unfortunately we live in a world where everything is a metric, right? Like a restaurant has a rating, you have number of followers, number of subscribers, of whatever nonsense. So how do you measure the intangible? How do you measure feelings? What Cred's ad would have done. How do you measure that?
You can't. You can feel some things, yes. Okay, just to counterpoint that, right? Mm. Like first up, there are campaigns designed specifically for number moving, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Like there were metrics to the Cred campaign also, I'm sure. There should be awareness metrics should go here. People should know what we do, etc. etc. I'm sure they had that. I'm not saying that nobody cared about such stuff. Not at all. There were very specific notes to us, given to us, saying this is what we would want you to do. So I'm not against metric moving content making. Of course not. That is important and it's necessary to do. What I was saying earlier was that that's not the only thing that advertising has the potential of doing. It can do a lot more. metric moving is an immediate goal. Brand building is a long-term goal, right? It's a difference. It's trading and investing. It's like that.
So Cred was obviously lovely. Could you talk about other campaigns that, you know, irrespective of what they may have done for the brand, to you, either as like a viewer of the campaign or as someone who was a part of the campaign, made you feel all the feelings, right? Any others that come to mind? Like for me, actually, Airbnb's Belong Anywhere, in my opinion, was fantastic. Again, very meta. I don't know what it did for them, but it just the feeling, right? Like one of those few ads that actually made me emotional, which is saying something.
There was something that happened recently, man, between Amazon Prime Video and Netflix. I saw that and I thought that was interesting. Amazon Prime Video released a video about Netflix doing Streamfest, and they said, oh, 2 days free. We've always had 30-day free trial. Like, what are you guys talking about? Which to me was very interesting because it's Amazon. They are never interesting. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Amazon is the most boring fucking company in the world. Good advertising is tough to remember because you don't think of it as advertising. No, it's... I can't think of anything off the top of my head, man. What was the last thing? I think I saw On Juno was the last film that I saw, which I thought was really good. They got Hikaru Nakamura to be one of their brand ambassador, which is super smart. Finance, chess, you have sort of like an elite premium market that you're going after. And they made a film like Game of Thrones, which is they wanted to kill the witch. And the witch is someone in the olden days, a witch was someone who would say radical things, which felt radical to everybody else. So they would just want to kill her. And she was talking about how banking is currently flawed and how you should move to On Juno. And they were like, what? How can you say such a blasphemous thing? Banking is flawed. This is crazy. And they're executing her. And she talks about the product while she's being executed, which is just insane. Then eventually she gets made the Messiah once. Yeah, which is On Juno is here to save you guys. That was interesting. You should check it out.
Where is this brand based out?
I will send you. It's the US.
Okay.
It's not an Indian brand.
Hmm.
But I think it has an Indian founder. I'll send you the film. You can link it in the comment section, guys. It'll be there it will be pinned comment. You can check it out. It's the last thing that I enjoyed.
Okay. Last segment for today, which is creators. You know, you created magic with AIB. You've recreated magic for yourself with your, you know, current YouTube channels. You're also crushing it on Instagram. You work with brands, you know, as a influencer creator, you also consult with brands. You've made a movie. You've just got this like crazy diaspora of stuff that you've gotten into. And apparently you're going to be angel investing soon as well.
Oh, I already am. I've been angel invested in a couple of startups and it's just going to do more. I'm going to do more and more in this space.
That's awesome. So talk a little bit about, you know, how you've sort of thought of your, for the lack of a better word, influence and essentially how do you take that influence and bifurcate it, or not just influence, actually skill, and bifurcate it into, you know, interesting ways to monetize, not just for yourself, but, you know, for companies that you may be setting up. So could you talk a little bit about, you know, where you see creators going? Because like you said, YouTube's not going to pay you that much because Indian ARPUs are abysmal. What are interesting ways in which creators can monetize?
Yeah. What are interesting ways creators can monetize? So first, I think there's a gap in the market, right? It's a lot easier for you to monetize as a YouTuber, right? It's frictionless is what I mean to say. You have YouTube memberships. You can stream the Super Chat. The other traditional ways brands will come and advertise. Plus there's YouTube ad revenue. If you become successful at YouTube, you can make a living using the tools that YouTube themselves have created, which I think is a big win for YouTube. The other platforms have not switched this on yet. There are over 20, 30,000 creators. I'm probably way off because this was a number that I heard a couple of years ago. Creators who have over 10,000 followers on Instagram. It's probably changed now. It's probably a lot more. It's probably 100,000 at least. 30,000 creators with over 10,000 people who are following. How do they make money? How does a yoga teacher who has an Instagram following with 10,000 people on it, how does this yoga teacher make money? On YouTube, it's fairly simple. Memberships, you click a button, you can create exclusive content. Two ways that creators can make money. The first one is by monetizing fandom. Have you seen the A16Z article about 1,000 fans versus 100 fans? Also, yeah. fandom. The second one is utility, right? Both of these need to be solved currently. I think there's a massive market. How does a TikTok star make money outside of branded content? If a TikTok star with 1 million followers, I'm pretty sure there are 5,000 of them who would pay $1,000 a month to be part of an inner circle with the TikTok star. That's a fair amount of money, man. It'll run a house easily. And I think many, many, many creators can have this. Right now, they're all far too dependent on brand money and this and that. And more importantly, it's not frictionless. It's right now, it's difficult. Yoga teacher has to put on Instagram story, add someone on Telegram, send a Zoom link, and then they come and coordination. And plus getting many fans on the same WhatsApp group means someone or the other will annoy someone or the other. There'll be spam. It's just not slick. It's just not done well. So I think there's a massive gap here, which is only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger because everyone's going to be a creator. Right now it's on YouTube, waiting for Instagram to switch on that feature. Many startups are already operating in this space, in the creator tool space. My personal gut says speciality will work, right? Like creator tools for makeup tutorial. Created like OnlyFans is a creator tool, right? It was, but was for specifically, you know, Instagram models, right? So verticals will get created eventually is what I'm assuming. It already exists in the US, doesn't yet exist in, not too many exist in India. I think Air Black exists. It's so interesting. I was talking to a startup founder about this. And I said, makeup tutorial. He said, dude, it's already there. And I said, oh, then I looked up Air Black and I thought it was crazy. So these verticals
will... They made a big pivot. I don't know if you know, but they started as some like travel company. This is Vidit Jaiswal's company, right?
I have no idea. I was just talking to someone and I discovered that, oh, this is already a thing. But this is going to be more and more a thing. I keep trying to pitch OnlyFans in India to a bunch of people, but everyone's like, oh, investors won't touch it because, you know, it's not pure, it's not clean. I'm like, what, 400 million revenue? It's like 200 million profit, dude. It's a lot of money. How come no one is interested? And like we discussed earlier, everything leads to Tharak, man. Like, this is a country with whatever, like 80% men are online, credit card users, 80%, 90% are men. The male population is driving spending, right? Like, why are fire, you know? So why it's a business that you should look at. I think this space is ripe for disruption. There'll be many, many, many players. I already know 3-4 of them, but there will be more. And like I said, Air Black is a great example. What an interesting idea to touch. This is going to happen. For creators, I think everyone will have their rounds of status and glory, but for the really sharp ones who skip that curve, they will start using their skills to much greater effect. I see more founding influencers being a thing now.
Can you give examples?
I think at an early startup stage, like, do we fundamentally agree that at an early startup stage, it's useful to have a creator with a distribution that exists to give you that little boost, right? Like that exists. Creators can save you money, help you make decisions, etc., etc. Maybe not all creators. I think I'm being specific to myself. But I think this is possible to do. It's already started happening. Whose news was I reading? Who's that massive Charlie DeMello?
So one of these what singers?
Charlie DeMello is, I think, the biggest TikTok star in the world. She recently invested in the banking app called Step, right? It gives teens an FDIC insured bank account and a Visa card.
Hot damn. Go Charlie. Yeah.
Go Charlie, right? TikTok's biggest, 16-year-old Charlie DeMello is invested in Step. And now you can imagine Step, she's giving finance gyan in TikTok style, 15-seconder. If one of the questions that you had asked, I had said this, what are features that brands aren't using? Reels, man. Like, Reels, it's crazy. I just started doing it on Clueless. We posted our first reel yesterday. I said, I want every piece of gyan to go in a reel, right? Why? I think the all education should happen to TikTok and Reel. Why the fuck not? It's so good. But I went down this thing of, I started seeing finance TikToks. And in 15 seconds, I'm knowing shit that would take me fucking forever to figure it out. Tang, 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 people point. Four things come up with some music. And then the guy twirls and a whole new text comes. It's beautiful. This is how all education should happen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what bhajans were to religion.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it is. It's just packaged beautifully.
Yeah.
So I think it's education is also going to see this, by the way. I think as dopamine thresholds are going high, why are kids not interested in studying anymore? It's just fucking boring to study. No dopamine is being released. I think if you're going to combine music, comedy with education, it's a gold mine. So anyway, I'm working on something. I'm trying to recreate like 10 standard syllabus with comedians. Let's see how that works. But I think it'll work. I think it might work better as a TikTok style lesson, right? I think that might be better.
Reinvent the board exams while you're at it also. But that's the thing, right? Like, that was the point that I was making earlier also. Up until you change how people measure outcomes,
you're
changing inputs becomes really tough. So sure, you can gamify as much as you want out of your math syllabus. But the problem is, if you're going to make me give an exam in the most 1990 way possible, the way I've learned is not being reflected in the way I'm outputting. Mm. And it's the same challenge. Actually, that's my biggest issue. I mean, now that you've shown me Discord, it would be interesting to see how Discord also measures, not just engagement, but also success, growth, whatever else. Because
they're going to start measuring now, aren't they? They're not measuring yet.
No, but somewhere the way things are measured needs to be changed, right? Because if Tanmay's identity is coming from how much he got in his class 10th and class 12th board exams, no matter how interesting I make education, your outcome, your output if the output doesn't change, the input won't either. Which is where I think, the point that you made about just the idea of what jobs will be in the future changing and how, consumers becoming creators, you not having to be a lawyer to make a shit ton of money, but you can just be that guy with 1,000 fans paying you 5,000 rupees every month and boom, 5 lakhs in your account, right? I think when that changes, when you're able to achieve the same outcome with a very diversified input, I think that's really when disruption will compound. It all seems like it's moving too slowly though. I don't know what it is. You know what I mean? Like, it's just all like, I don't know when it'll hit, but it just all seems like it's moving really slowly.
Yeah, it sometimes feels like, why isn't this already happening? What is taking so long? This needs to happen immediately.
Think of something as simple as like content and commerce. Right? I mean, it's just, there's so much friction in between those two worlds. And because I've played in both of those worlds, I know, right?
The two worlds don't talk to each other, right? The media world and, the world that makes actual money and not the fake money that the media world keeps playing with and thinking they're very rich. Every third founder in Bangalore has way more money than half these actors around, man. But you're right. Content and commerce.
I think somewhere, the compounding needs to be accelerated.
It is a status-driven society, right?
Mr. Shah.
Yeah, but it's true. I have spent many hours with Kunal on this, right? It's earlier I would frame it as Lokya Kahenge syndrome, right? This is Lokya Kahenge syndrome. And we just don't like change for that reason. We're too afraid of upsetting people for that reason. So acceptance is naturally very low. Not only are we not accepting new ideas, we will pull down anyone who has a new idea. I was trying to frame what is being offended in a formula, right? Being offended is nothing but a new idea trying to penetrate your head, and your brain is refusing to even acknowledge it. That is when you're offended, right? Saying, oh, America is a richer country. How can you say this? Are you saying India is not? I just can't fathom that you have an opinion like this. This is, it's threatening my, it's a survival thing, right? Like your brain feels threatened when your identity is questioned. You feel threatened and you get offended. So it's I think that's the main reason why. It's still, and talk to your mom, right? Like when I talk to my mom is when I really realize how resistant people are to change. It took me forever to get her to be comfortable with an Ola, right? Just you press a button and it's here, man. It's just too good. You have to talk to one person. Just get the app, man. I don't need to do it for you every single time. Until now, eventually she's comfortable. But yeah, it's, I think that's the reason why.
Yeah. Okay. Last two questions for you. What are your favorite Indian brands that are in your little black book?
Ooh, I would like to plug a brand that I've worked with closely. There's one brand called Small Case. Small Case is something that I started using 8 months ago. It's really good for people who are just getting into starting to invest their money. So if you're young, if you're below 30, if you're over 30, it's too late for you, Tai. But if you're below 30,
Thanks, Tanmay. I will die tonight.
if you're below 30 and you're just starting to invest, I would highly recommend Small Case. They have a product called All Weather Investing, which is the first thing that I discovered. Phenomenal product. It's so do you know what a Small Case is? Have you used Small Case?
I know the founder, Common Investors, Vasant. I've checked their product out. Yeah, lovely.
Vasant Anugrah, lovely guys.
Yeah.
So Small Case is a very interesting platform. It lets you invest in a basket of stocks, right? If you're not someone who wants to sit and trade every single day, but if you want your money to grow and you want to invest in ideas, like I invested in pharma 6 months ago, doing really well for me. They have a pharma tracker, which is a basket of the best pharma stocks. They have a product which is called All Weather Investing. This is my favorite product. All Weather Investing is nothing but a little bit of Nifty, which is a little bit of equity, a little bit of gold, a little bit of liquid. If Nifty is going berserk, it's just there's a crazy rally, right? Your All Weather basket will not rise crazy. It will rise. But if Nifty is like just dramatic, like yesterday was just bad, right? All Weather will suffer, not too much, because there is gold to balance out Nifty. There is liquid. There is junior B's also in it. It's just a very safe product. And I think anybody who's new to investing would find this interesting. They have baskets of interesting. It's the best, to me, it's the best newbie. If someone wants to learn investing at the same time, they have a little bit of money, they just want to learn. It's the best product. And it's also it looks pretty. Unlike a lot of the banking, like I think half of banking is being disrupted. Just what is Neobank? It says four graphic designers over the same stuff that a bank does. Right? Like it's just nicer UI already. and then all the different features and all start coming in. But initially it's what? Hey, here's a nice pie chart for your savings account. Like so that really helps. Small Case looks very pretty. Another one is Man Matters. I just put in again, I think second time founders, if I'm not mistaken. They have an apple cider vinegar pill. No, it's not a pill. It's a chewy. Anyone who's trying to lose weight will tell you that the first thing that your fucking nutritionist tells you is wake up and have apple cider vinegar with lemon in water. And it's the most disgusting thing in the world. And I've recently lost, in the last 4 months, I've lost a ton of weight. And I was drinking apple cider vinegar until someone told me, saying that Man Matter does this in a pill. And it's just a superior product. Like, it just makes life so much easier. I think this is going to blow up, right? For anybody who's health conscious, this is just a no-brainer. It comes in this beautiful package. It's like a toffee and you just eat it every morning. And it's nice tasting and it's healthy and it accelerates everything. It's just really good. So I think Man Matters is going to do really well. They're going to do really well because catering to men, baldness, sexual health, weight loss, it's just high motivation products, all of them. So apple cider vinegar pill, I would highly recommend these two things. Well, you asked for brands and I recommended very specific products. Like these two things, they will change your life. These are really good. And Discord. It is not Indian, but yeah, forget Discord. Books, podcasts, movies, your next question. A Trial of Chicago 7 on Netflix, the last movie that I watched. Yeah. Fucking super movie. Yeah. Watch it. Aaron Sorkin. Mwah. I'm not very, very big on podcasts except Joe Rogan. That also Joe Rogan I watch when there's a guest that I really like is on it. Otherwise, I'm not very big on podcasts. Atomic Habits, I'm rereading multiple times because I'm trying to create a talk for myself. But Atomic Habits is life-changing. If you have not read it, pick it up right now.
What about it is life-changing?
Everybody has some goals, right? Like there's professional goals, some personal goals. I think what most people lack is being in a state of flow in both these things, right? What do I mean by flow? I'm pretty sure most people know. But flow is when your challenges meet your skill. I think what Atomic Habits has done for me, it's managed to find a framework for me to find a flow in creating habits, right? And as someone who has discovered the power of compounding very late in life, as most of us, they didn't teach us this shit in school. Not only does Atomic Habits teach you compounding really well, which by the way is 90% of life is compounding.
Yep.
Right? But it will, creating habits and finding a feedback loop in creating habits, you won't see the effect on your life right now. You will see the effect in 6 months. And I'm saying this as someone who I've struggled with losing weight my whole life. And for the first time, I'm enjoying the process of losing weight. And I'm so confident that this time I will finish it. I'm so confident. I've lost 20. I have about 40 more to go. And I've given myself about 8 more months to do it. And the main reason is this book. This book helped me find joy in working out. Not because of anything else. It's because it's become a habit now. If I don't work out for 3 days, it's irritating to me now. And now I'm working on the next habit, which is creation. Like I want to make sure that I get in 1 hour of completely raw writing something new, creation for an hour every day. Sounds very basic, but it's very hard to do, to have 1 hour of uninterrupted, unstimulated, raw writing, creating something from scratch. How else will I get a movie written while doing all of this? There's no way unless I put in an hour every day. So that's the other advantage. And the third thing is your time management becomes super efficient because of this book. So yeah, so I know my life is much better off for this. It's not an uncommon book. It's very famous. Many people have quoted from it. Everybody has spoken about it. But there are still some people who have not read it. So I'm reiterating it. Please read this book.
Awesome. Thank you so much for doing this, Tanmay. You look amazing. Wow. Hey, 20 kgs.
20 kgs.
Hot damn.
Yeah, but this is just lockdown weight. Now it will start showing. Now it will actually start showing. But yeah, skin is clear. You wake up happier. You feel nice when you sleep. Otherwise, yeah, when you're eating bad, it's just terrible.
Yeah, yeah. And you take joyous dumps every day in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. My dump cycle has changed. Morning has not happened for me yet. But it's changing. But anyway, yeah. I'm trying fasting, man.
What?
I'm fasting.
Intermittent fasting.
No, fast. Intermittent, yeah. But fasting. Okay. I do 48-hour fasts and stuff. Again, another book I want to recommend if you want to lose weight, Obesity Code by Dr. Jason Fung. Okay. Changed my life. I know, and I school my weightlifting friends about their own body now, because most people don't know the fundamentals of how your body functions. People think fasting is bad, but historically, and if you just see all the religions, they all have fasting, some form of fasting in it, right? There has to be something to it. So check out that book to understand how your body functions. That's also a good book.
Thank you so much for doing this. This was awesome. All the very best, dude. Thank you. Thank you so much. Any last words for our listeners?
Check out all the other people on this podcast. They probably have a lot more interesting things to say than I do. Like, share, and subscribe. Do it, guys. Do it for engagement. Comment for better reach.
That was fantastic. Thanks, dude.
Cheers.
Peace. Bye.
Bye.